Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host in crime, Captain Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, happy Reformation Month once again.
True.
We're in the throes of Reformation Month, the best month.
We are also in the throes of possibly the most nail-biting month of sports, called baseball, MLB October, postseason, baby.
Yeah, it's true.
My Guardians, the Browns. Okay, I've just ejected the Browns like out of my memory right now because I don't care about them because they lose all the time. Mm-hmm. And the Guardians like won that game one of the postseason, and like it got me really amped because it was against Detroit. So, anyway,
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. That's frustrating. So, yeah, it's been a rough. It's been a rough couple weeks for you, you Cleveland guys.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson is not the dude.
Yeah.
And it's dumb because the coaches are like, no, we're going to keep him in the quarterback position. And it's just like, no, I don't want to keep him in the quarterback position.
I'm sorry.
Fantasy football, though. Hopefully I'll be undefeated in my work league, which
Look
is nice.
You, my man.
Taking Church league, not so much. Work league. Yeah.
Yeah. So well done. Well done.
Anyway,
Jack, how was your Lord's Day, my friend?
It was pretty good. So we are continuing in the Book of Acts. I mean, let the people know we're kind of moving our recording times to the Sunday evening Lord's Day kind of time frame,
right?
To kind of prepare for the week because it's a little bit better for both of us, but. Yeah, we're going through Acts. We're picking up basically in Paul's like final motions once he goes to Rome. So right now we're in the section of Acts where he's in front of the military Roman tribunal, and he's first giving his like testimony. He said one of our pastors said a pretty interesting thing. He said that, the Lord doesn't need, Jesus doesn't need advocates. He needs witnesses. Pretty interesting.
It's interesting splitting of hairs. I can't think of the word right now, but that's an interesting, interesting way to look at both of those.
He talked about how, like, does Jesus need us to advocate for him, or does he need us to just witness to what he's already done in our lives? That could be a whole sermon in and of itself about reformed.
Oh, for sure.
The reformed community in the United States. But
absolutely. Absolutely.
funny things there. Yeah. So, no, it was good. I read scripture. Man, that scripture is like, I read chapter 21, the one verse that kind of it kind of like loads up the verses. So it's like 21 verse 40 that basically says Paul was allowed to speak. So he spoke to them, and that goes into like Paul, just 21 verses of him just going into like his life story and about how Jesus kind of just came to him and showed up and blinded him. But it was really good. I thought one of our pastors did a really good job at exegeting the flow and kind of tying, like, he didn't want to tie it in to our values. So our values at our church are gospel, community, mission. And he's like, we just didn't like make those up one day. Like, we actually like exegeted it out of this passage.
Yeah.
So that was like really cool to see that, how our values are like actually lining up whenever we do like exegesis. So
that's cool, man. That's awesome.
Anyway,
very cool. Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. So, mine was good too, man.
Nerdy stuff there. But.
We finished up, we finished up Hebrews chapter 10. So finished that passage up. So we're moving right along. Got through the heaviness of 10. That's a hefty chapter. So that takes some time, and
Hebrews in and of itself is just. I remember we did that particular epistle in like a men's study.
Yeah,
and there's so much stuff in that in Hebrews that, like, if you're not like taking the time to just like look at it in a very like microscopic lens or like an exegetical way, like, you could miss a lot going on there.
Oh, 100%. 100%. So, for sure.
But yeah.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's like, it's a, you know, me being the kind of nerd that I am, I'm really enjoying going through Hebrews while in Reformation Month. Because of the ties, like the obvious ties that are there with Paul speaking against the works-based assurance, the works-based salvation that the Judaizers were going back to, right? And him telling them, no, the gospel is through faith, right? And you see kind of almost a precursor. There's nothing new under the sun, so it's the oldest problem in the book. We're always going to have a bent and a struggle to relying on our works versus the grace of Christ. But you see how even in Hebrews, the propensity that we have to trust in our own works, trust in the things that we know instead of what Christ has done. And then you juxtapose that to the events in the 15th century, right, with Martin Luther.
Yeah.
And you see, or excuse me, the 1500s. And you see that same problem arising just in a different context, right? And it comes to this really important understanding that we're going to talk about today, that we as members of local churches, it's just we as Christians, especially those of us that lead in certain ways in our local churches, we need to be people that confess wholeheartedly justification by faith and faith alone. Because that understanding of that doctrine affects so much about how we live our lives, how we serve, our motivations, the joy that we will have in serving. The justification by faith, which is honestly like the core doctrine that the Reformation was started on and was kind of the cornerstone of that entire movement, is a rejection of justification by works and an embracing of the true gospel of justification by faith in the works of Christ, right?
Yeah.
And Jack, I don't know about you, but that is something that I believe every Christian would wholeheartedly agree with. Like, yes, of course we are saved by faith. We're not saved by works, right? But it's so easy for the opposite to creep in to our lives through our practice. Maybe not our confession, but our practice. And you see time and time again individuals that are leading, serving, worshiping in community together through a lens of works and not of faith.
Yeah.
And it has a huge effect on all of those things that we need to make sure that as Christians, we're not only just confessing justification by word, by faith, but we're living justification by faith. And it's a lot harder to live than it is to confess, I have found in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we actually added this one piece to our liturgy where we do a confession of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right after communion, and we did the Apostles' Creed. And I'm wondering if we're doing any other creeds as well, too, or sections of creeds. So that'll be interesting to see how that develops.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to absolutely start petitioning for the ecumenical creeds to start coming out, but that's just me.
There's the church history of Jack coming out right there. I wanted to read a passage to kind of jumpstart some of the conversation here. This is, surprise, surprise, Spurgeon, but it's from his book, mm-hmm. All Around Ministry by Charles Spurgeon. This one is from Banner of Truth. And All Around Ministry by Charles Spurgeon, he begins the book, because it's a book primarily talking about directions, wisdom, and encouragement for preachers and pastors. So it's one that I actually started today, kind of going into Reformation Month. And surprise, surprise, I didn't know this, because I haven't actually read this book yet. But he begins his book speaking about faith. And the justification of faith and the need for us as Christians to be living lives that are through faith and not our works, especially those that are involved in the local church. And as I was reading, I'm like, oh, my goodness, like we are literally talking about this today. So I wanted to read this paragraph. It's in his first chapter on faith. And he says this. He says, "Now, brethren, as our pedigree is of faith, and our claim to the privileges of the covenant is of faith, and our life in its beginning and continuance is all of faith, so may I boldly say that our ministry is of faith too. We are heralds to the sons of men, not of the law of Sinai, but of the love of Calvary. We come to them not with the command, 'Do this and thou shalt live,' but with the message, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.' Ours is the ministry of gracious faith, and it is not after man, nor according to the law of a carnal commandment. We preach not man's merit, but Christ crucified." Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, no one says it like Spurgeon. No one says it like Spurgeon. Yeah. But I love how that first sentence, he says, we have a pedigree of faith. It's literally in our pedigree. Mm. It's in our makeup. It's in who we are, right? Like anyone who's ever raised dogs or horses, right? And you get the real expensive ones. You got to get their papers, right? Because if you're raising purebred dogs, right, people want to know, like, who were their parents? What is their pedigree? We want to know because their pedigree dictates their value, right? And it's essentially what Spurgeon is saying here, is that our pedigree, our makeup, what makes us valuable is this truth that we are saved by the works of Jesus Christ, not our own works. And that should affect and infect every aspect of who we are as Christians. I love how he had such an ability to turn a phrase, and I love the pedigree of faith. I really love that. It really sparked my desire to want to be able to do that too.
Yeah. He, that brings up also another quote that, since we're talking about Reformation Month, there was a professor at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. His name's Richard Lovelace. And he talked a lot about the gap in between people living out of justification by faith alone, mm-hmm. and living out of their works. And I always love this kind of paragraph that he talks about where he says, only a fraction of the present body of professing Christians are solidly appropriating the justifying work of Christ in their lives.
Ooh.
And he goes on to say, many have so light an apprehension of God's holiness and of the extent and guilt of their sin that consciously they see little need for justification. Although below the surface of their lives, they are deeply guilt-ridden and insecure. Many others have a theoretical commitment to this doctrine, but in their day-to-day existence, they rely on their sanctification for justification. Mm. In the Augustinian manner, drawing their assurance of acceptance with God from their sincerity, their past experience of conversion, their recent religious performance, or their relative infrequence of their conscience, willful disobedience. Mm. Few know enough to start each day with a thoroughgoing stand upon Luther's platform. You are accepted. Mm. Looking outward in faith and claiming the holy alien righteousness of Christ as the only ground for acceptance. And this is an interesting phrase. He said, relaxing in that quality of trust, which will produce increasing sanctification as faith is active in love and gratitude.
That's great.
I say that too during communion, that Luther's platform is you are accept. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus by faith alone, sola fide, mm-hmm. you are accepted. Mm-hmm. Like Christ's alien righteousness is granted onto you. I know Papa Sproul talks about that a lot.
Oh yeah.
A lot. The imputation of righteousness, right?
Yeah.
Christ's imputation.
Yeah.
So that like really, when one of my pastors hit us with that, and we did a series on Galatians and he threw this quote at us. It absolutely hit, mm-hmm. Where it needed to hit, because so many people rely on their sanctification for their justification instead of sola fide for their justification.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like it's so easy to do. I mean, I can attest to how easy it is. Like, I still mm-hmm. struggle with that. Like, I still struggle with looking at my sanctification as the end all be all of my justification, right? How do I know I'm in Christ? Well, how am I striving, right? And look, we know from Scripture, a tree is known by its fruit. It's not that, you know, we know from James, you know, faith without works is dead, right? But it was never meant to be the assurance of your salvation. It's the evidence of your salvation. But the assurance of our salvation must always rest solely and completely on the work of Jesus Christ done on our behalf. And if we get that twisted, mm-hmm. if we get that relationship misunderstood, we will live lives that are always in fear of the wrath of Sinai. Right? Just like Spurgeon says here. Like, we don't... What do you say? He said, I boldly say that the ministry is of faith. We are heralds to the sons of men, not of the law of Sinai, but of the love of Calvary.
Yeah.
And that's what this entire Reformation month celebrates, is that awakening, especially in the heart of Martin Luther, who for so long was under the law. And felt the weight of what it meant to have your justification based on your keeping and understanding of the law. And it crushed him. And he could not imagine in his wildest dreams a God of love. Mm-hmm. And it drove him mad. But it was only after coming to an understanding, after digging into the scriptures and seeing, no, your justification, my friend, is not based on what you do. It's not based on your performance. It's not based on how hard you work, how long you strive. It's based on the work accomplished by Jesus Christ on Calvary that has been attributed to you through his sovereign election. My friends, there is such joy that comes from understanding that what you do in this life is in response to that glorious truth, not something that secures that glorious truth, right? Yeah. And when we're talking about justification by faith, again, that cornerstone truth of the Reformation, when we talk about that in regards in light of the local church, Jack, I mean, the implications are astounding. What striving and serving and preaching and being in community would look like if it's done out of faith versus done out of works, right?
Yeah.
And like that, that's an important thing to talk about because I think, at least for me, I know that that relationship can often get twisted. And I find myself striving in ministry out of a feeling of duty, because this is what Christians do, instead of joy and thankfulness that this is an opportunity that I have because of what Christ has done for me.
Yeah, that's I think as long as we're in America, we're always going to struggle with that.
I think
just honestly looking at, it's so tough too, because our culture is so, has been, I would say probably since it's slowly been leveling from the 1970s all the way probably into today, to where we've had this creep and continual creep of the corporate, of corporate America coming into evangelicalism and even in the reform world, to where if you like, it's almost like if you're not producing, like in the corporate world, like if you're not making money, like you're not sustainable. You're not worth talking about, right?
Sure, sure.
So it's like if you're not doing something within the evangelical or reformed world of, if you're not, you know, doing this particular thing or working towards this, then why even bother? You know, and I feel like so much, I feel like we get it twisted so much, and why we're at church on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And it's not for, I think it's more for the sake of, we need that rest and that assurance again of why we're there. And we do this thing called the gospel welcome, like every Sunday, where we talk about how like we are here on a Sunday to gather around, knowing that the gospel gives us rest, knowing that our weariness is accomplished because of Jesus, like knowing that our sinful behavior is in need of a savior, that our worthlessness is in need of us understanding that God calls us to God. Well, God made us with value, right, and worth. So I think there's a diff. I think there's a shift that I've seen, like very much so in two different churches that I've been a part of, where I felt like the previous church I was a part of, it was always about, you got, like, communion was taken and the service I felt was taken as like, there is a distinguished business that you got to take care of during the service. Versus what I just read in this quote by Richard Lovelace, like, we have this rest.
Right.
We have this platform of Martin Luther. You are accepted.
Yeah. Right.
By sola, like, through sola fide. Right. So I think there is a significant difference when you come to a communion table that I know of in my local church, to where it is a place for sinners and sufferers to take the Lord's Supper, to know and have assurance in that, right? Yeah. Versus, I think in other churches, it is this like goad to goad you into sanctification through justification.
Right.
Not so much trust and assurance, right? Through faith alone by justification, or through faith alone that equals justification. It's more like through your sanctification, justification will come.
Right.
Right. I think those are two very different ways that people communicate that in a church setting, mm-hmm. and it doesn't give them rest throughout the week knowing what's ahead of them. And it doesn't prepare their hearts knowing that their Heavenly Father is going to be with them throughout the week.
Yeah.
Knowing that the Holy Spirit's going to empower them. So yeah, it's man, I've just seen that so much in that dynamic, in the change from what church I was a part of to the church I am now. Mm-hmm. And it's significantly different.
Right.
In how we go about that. Because now it's like, man, I don't feel like I need to perform. I don't feel like I need to come here and put on some sort of facade about how I'm feeling.
Right.
You know, I can come and share the truth and rest in the work of Christ with my brothers and sisters in this church, rather than it feeling like a production.
Yeah.
Like you are there to be a cog in the wheel for the production that is the Sunday service.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I think those are two dramatically different ways that maybe people may be experiencing the Lord's Day.
Sure.
And that's a call to examine the church that you're in and say, do I think that this local church is actually preaching the gospel and preaching justification by faith alone, mm-hmm. or is it justification through sanctification? Mm-hmm. And somehow I'm working towards a justification that will one day benefit me. And I feel as though that's what that church is preaching through its witness, through how it conducts itself on the Lord's Day. So,
Well, and the answer to that question is going to determine whether or not you have joy in the community of believers that you're in. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's start just from the membership, right? If you are joining the membership of the church because you believe that again is what Christians do, and you can't, like, you need to make sure that all your I's are dotted and T's are crossed in order to make sure that your salvation is intact. So this is how I'm going to do it. You're joining with the wrong motivation. Now, I do believe that becoming a member in a local church is what obedient Christians do, right? But we do it with different motivations, okay? If you are seeking to serve in the local church as a member because you believe that is how your worth is determined as a member in that church, as a member of the church universal, right? There's not going to be joy in that service. There's going to be pressure.
Yeah.
There's going to be expectation. It's law, right? That's a covenant of works, not of grace. Our service to our local church, our service to one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ should be done out of joy. And if you want it to be done out of joy, it must be done out of faith, because faith produces joy, right? Take it to the preaching, okay? If you want that for your members, Pastor, you better darn well be preaching it. You better be preaching that the salvation and eternal security that your congregants have, that they so desperately want and desperately need to be assured of and reassured of, is not found in their performance. It's not found in what they do. It's found in the work of Jesus Christ. So cling to the works of Christ. Bring your sorrows and your cares and your sins and the weight of this world and this life, bring it to the cross and watch it be paid for. That is what we as preachers must do. That is what we as pastors must do. That is what we as members must do. And if we have a correct understanding, Jack, just like you're saying, that the just shall live by faith, then the just shall live lives of joy, because faith produces joy.
Yeah.
So we got to get this right if we want if we want there to be joy and unity and blessing within the local church, as there is supposed to be. And more than often, when we lack those things, this is usually one of the first things that I go to. If a congregant comes to me and says, I'm lacking joy in what I'm doing. I'm lacking joy in being a part of the church. I'm lacking joy in my service. I'm lacking joy in this. Like, okay, what are your motivations for this? Because I've often found, especially in my own life, if my motivations are skewed, that affects whether or not joy is a byproduct of that. So the cornerstone of the Reformation, the just shall live by faith, is one that is in continual need to be proclaimed because the entirety of our faith rests on that. It's that important. Yep. And we got to get it right as members, as deacons, as pastors. You have to live lives that are relying on Christ through faith. Otherwise, joy will not be a byproduct of that service.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that typical kind of typology that you see in the Old Testament where Moses puts the bronze serpent on the pole.
Oh, dude, yes. Yes.
And all who look to that serpent are healed.
That is one of my favorite Old Testament stories. I absolutely love it.
It's such a type of Christ and what the cross really means, right?
Yeah.
And what happens when we trust in Jesus, you know, that sting, like so many metaphors there. That sting of the serpent of Satan, that serpent, right, is gone when we look to Jesus in faith and trust that he is our justification. Right. That his death is justifying us, right? Yes. There's so many things. And I love that picture too, because I think a lot of people just go to the law of Moses all the time, but they forget that one story. And that one story is like such a beautiful picture of the gospel and what Jesus has done for us on the cross.
Yeah.
That we all too often forget that, and it's such a good reminder of that we are justified by faith alone. And that, man, that if we would only live lives like that instead of saying one thing and doing another, you know, I think that's the huge gospel gap that we deal with a lot from time to time. But
you got to remember, we have a pedigree of faith. That's what it is. That's our makeup. That's who we are. And we need to live out of that reality. Right. It's a much better reality to live out of. It really is. Yeah. Well, Jack, my friend, you know what I just realized?
I think I know what you're saying.
We completely blew through the cigar.
Dude, Ed's going to love us.
They're so excited.
Ed's going to love
us. Oh, everybody's going to hate us now, because guess what? We're still doing it, people. We're still doing it. All right? Dude, Steve Lawson himself could not get us to skip a cigar review, and it took Reformation Month. That's how hyped I get over Reformation Month, dude. I wasn't even thinking about cigar reviews. I was thinking, just shall live by faith, baby. Reformation Month. Let's just get to the topic. I was so excited. We completely skipped it. So here's what we're going to do, folks. All right. We're going to give you a quick one. Jack's going to throw it at us. All right. Because far be it from Reformatory to skip the cigar reviews. All right. I know people are listening right now like, oh, true. Dude, I thought we got away with it. You didn't get away with it, son. Like, all right.
How dare you?
We were so excited to get to this topic, dude. We weren't even, our minds weren't even there, son.
True.
All right, Jack, really quick, my friend, round this episode up, all right, and give us the Reformatory Cigar of the Week. What do you have for us?
Okay, so we talked about Old Henry. I think it was I think it was Old Henry last week, and yes. I said that we were going to do Oz Family Cigars.
Right.
So this cigar is called the Bosophorus from Oz Family Cigars. Yeah. I have smoked the cigar. It is really tasty. It is, it's out of, so the, it's like basically talking about like the Bosphorus Strait, which is like a waterway in Turkey or something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, this, this comes in like four different Vitola sizes. I think I'm focusing mostly on the Robusto, but, honestly, like you could have any of these, cigars, any of the Vitola sizes, it would be fine. Basically, you have the wrapper, Ecuadorian Sumatran. Mm-hmm. You have the binder, which is also Ecuadorian, but it's Connecticut. And then you have a Nicaraguan Jalapa binder within that, too. So kind of like a dual binder. And then the filler is like a triple threat Nicaraguan. It's tobaccos from Esteli, Jalapa, and Otempe.
Nice.
Regions of Nicaragua.
Okay.
So I would say looking through the flavor kind of profiles, it has like this nuttiness, but also this pepperiness, has some earthiness, some cedar elements. It has kind of like everything for like a really good, more earthy cigar that we usually kind of go for. Mm-hmm. But it does have like elements of like, you know, sweetness, creaminess as well too at times as well. So nice. Josh,
yep,
what do you think the MSRP is on this bad boy?
I'm going precision. You ready for this?
Okay.
$12.50.
Dude, you are you are on the money.
Let's go. You're, Reformation month, you, baby. I'm in my element. I can't be
if you are on Price is Right, you'd be pretty dang close.
Yes.
It's MSRP is like $12 to like, you know, $13. So
that, dude, right, look at me.
You're right.
Look at me.
You're right in the front. You're right in the margin of error. So
it's Reformation month. I'm telling you, dude. Like, I can't be. I'm unstoppable during this month. It's the best.
Anyway. Oh, Bosophorus. Go get the four Vitola. Yeah. Go get the Vitola sizes. They come in like they're B50, B52, B54, B55.
That's awesome.
It's basically like
the World War II bombers. You know,
it sounds like it.
Yeah. I love it.
But really good. This is a really good cigar brand. It was actually voted as like Half Wheel voted it as one of the top cigar brands of like 2022.
Nice.
So getting that from Half Wheel is like a pretty good
That's
deal.
That's impressive.
So,
Good for them. All right.
But yeah.
Well, Jack, well done as always, my friend. Better late than never. All right.
True. Yeah,
better late than never. That's what we got. Well, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Leaf. Cigar of the Leaf. Cigar of the Week. Dude, my brain is all over the place. Cigar of the Week. And you know what to do, my friends. Go and smoke to the glory of God. Jack, my friend, it is time. Get us out of here, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Friends, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts to make the local church central into the believer's life here on the Reformatory, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will, the metaverse, the Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow. The metaverse is the Facebook, excuse me.
It is.
The Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow. Or the always interesting sociable formerly known as Twitter X. You can find us at the tag at Reformatory Pod at all those sociables. You can drop us a line, DM us, ask us questions, ask us or like give us different episode ideas, maybe topics, something like that. Like I said, all at the tag at Reformatory Pod at those sociable sites. Josh, you could tell the lovely people how they might help us out in some further endeavors that we have going.
Well, you can head on over to YouTube because we have a YouTube channel where you can see the video versions of these podcasts. Head on over there, search for the Reformatory Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We'd appreciate that. You can like this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. And for the month of October, we ask 5 stars for 5 solas. hit us with it. In honor of Reformatory October Reformation Month, if you're a longtime listener and have never reviewed the podcast, never given us a rating, we ask that you would consider it. Head on over there. Give us some five-star action. We really appreciate it. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. We call it the Podluck because we're old men like that. But you can head on over there. We get bonus episodes every week. You get these episodes early. You get exclusive access to the Reformatory chat that we have there. A lot of fun stuff happens there. It's a lot of fun. And for $5 a month, a $5 holla, less than a pumpkin spice latte, you too could become a Patreon supporter. And our pledge to you, if you do that, is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed to the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.